It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, where we talk about breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
So glad you're with us. We got a lot to talk about today. As you've heard, there's some news about, what did Donald Trump Jr. Say and release in the emails? We'll break those down for you at some point. It's Tech Tuesday. We're getting into some tech news. But right now, we're going to start with some stuff that not everybody else is talking about, but should be, with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I want to see who our friends are and how hard we're going to fight back against this administration. And I hope that we, when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad.
She went on to say, see if you can pull it up, Alex, because we used the clip the other day. She said about assimilation that the issue is not whether or not they fit in here.
Our number one and top priority is to protect and defend our communities. It is not to assimilate and to please any other people in authority. And our top priority, even higher than all those priorities, is to please Allah and only Allah.
So evidently, she got some flack from that. Gee, I wonder whose radio show caused that to happen. Because someone, and I don't know who, played those sound bites over and over again, possibly me, a couple of days ago. And several of you spoke up and said, we don't think that it's good to be talking about non-assimilation and waging jihad against the administration. I don't know. There's just something in us that thinks, that might not be the best thing. So yesterday she comes out and she says, all this pushback, it's just being done by Zionists. Well, there's someone that we have on the guest line who actually believes that the reaction that Sarsour will get from this is even stronger than just that, and it's for those national security concerns. We turn to Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who is retired United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under George W. Bush, and we are grateful to have him back on the broadcast today. Jerry, thank you for being here.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, Kevin.
Talk to me about what it means when someone of Linda Sarsour's veracity stands up, makes a fiery speech last Saturday in the city of Chicago, and calls people of like mind to perform jihad against the administration and to say that we will under no circumstances assimilate to the United States way of life.
Yeah, it's in some ways what she did is analogous to Black Lives Matter calling for the killing of police. And we see what the results of that is. We see two things. One is that people are going out and killing police. Just last week, we had another police
right,
officer killed.
Right here in New York.
Right in New York. And then the second thing you see, as a result of her call for jihad or violence against the Trump administration, is you see people who are willing to actually go out and do that. People that are willing to take that seriously, Muslims in America that are willing to do that, because Sarsour is very credible. Keep in mind that many people have been radicalized in mosque, online, with videos of firebrand imams, and their rhetoric has radicalized people in America as well as all over the world. And they've gone out and done some abysmal things. And what she did is she stood up and called for them to essentially commit violence against the administration. And she's trying to cover it up now. She's trying to take the revisionist approach to what jihad is. But if you go back and look at what the scholars in at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, the center of jurisprudence for Islam, what they've been saying for centuries, jihad is holy war against non-believers.
Well, and assuming that that's all true, and I do, I happen to hold that perspective on all of this. The other half of that, you know, we're talking about the refugee issue, and we're talking about immigration problems, we're talking about crime, and we're talking about violence, and we're talking about these kind of things that plague society. When any group stands up and says, well, we have the right to be in America, but we refuse to assimilate, to me, General, there's something wrong with that picture. Now, I know that we can't be dictating people's belief systems and religion, but to say that to me seems to be analogous with saying I reject the Constitution, I reject the Declaration of Independence, I reject the laws that govern me. And as long as what I'm living under, I guess, doesn't formally throw those out, I guess I don't have a problem with that. But if you're talking about choosing to live under a different authority while under the good graces of us as a benevolent society, that's a bigger problem.
Well, it's a huge problem. And, you know, first of all, our Constitution does not provide, you know, any foundation for people coming into this country that don't want to be here to be Americans, to assimilate into our society. There's nothing constitutional about people coming here to change our society, people coming here to set up a parallel government. And that's exactly what a lot of the radical Muslims in America are doing, is trying to set up a parallel legal system. And that's right. Called Sharia. It's Islamic law.
And they're following the model that they've done, that they've already successfully carried out in different European nations.
That's exactly what's happening in Europe. They are setting up a parallel government, a parallel society. And it's just a matter of time until it will dominate Europe. Read Mark Steyn's book, you know, America Alone. It's incredible that he says very clearly by 2050, by the middle of this century, the whole continent of Europe will be an Islamic continent. It's certainly dominated by Islam. And you know, when people come to America, we should open our doors to allow them to come to America if they want to be Americans, if they want to assimilate into our society. But if they want to bring something that threatens our Constitution, if they want to bring violence to America against the institutions that have made America great, there is no place for them. There is no provision for them to be here. And if we discover that they are here, I think we should do exactly what Donald Trump is doing right now. We should get them out of here as quickly as possible. Now, Sarsour was born here. But I think that what she has done should be punishable. I think she should have the FBI and the Secret Service knocking on her door right now, because I think she threatened the president.
It certainly easily could be interpreted that way, and I tend to agree with you. But, you know, Jerry, this always happens. There's people that make these kinds of statements. They hide in the vagaries, and then the culture itself doesn't really deal with them, you know, as they should, you know, under a just system. So what do you recommend that we do as a culture? How can we the people begin to respond to this?
Yeah, we the people need to take a stand. Look, first of all, you have to ask yourself, how did we as a society get to the point where we allow and tolerate this kind of behavior from the left? We don't tolerate it from the right, but we have been conditioned for the last 8 years to tolerate this kind of thing from the left and to just blow it off as just another incident. Well, it's time to stand up. Now, I think first of all, social media, given the fact that we can appeal to our representatives at all levels of government, we can appeal directly to them. We can put pressure on them, but they've got to come together. So if you, for example, you decide that with your radio program, you're going to call for people to write the governor of New York or write the mayor of New York City and demand that Sarsour be held accountable, you could do that kind of thing. People could sign your petition. People could send emails to their representatives and demand that she be held accountable. And that would send law enforcement at some level to her front door to find out what her intentions are. And I think we've got to start fighting back against this and stop the nonsense of Well, you know, it's a First Amendment right. No, there's nothing in the First Amendment that allows anybody to threaten the Constitution of the United States or the president, who under Article 2 is the commander-in-chief of our military, and that's not permitted.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lieutenant General William Jerry Boykin. He's now with the Family Research Council as the vice president there, but he was also the United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under George W. Bush. General, thank you for your insight and your analysis today. Appreciate it.
Glad to be with you. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Kevin McCullough, trying to fight the good fight. We got a lot of stuff yet to get to in today's broadcast, including my analysis of what's going on with this Donald Trump Jr. story. And I'll tell you why I labeled it a big fat nothing burger on social media earlier today. Whether you agree or disagree with me, we can talk about that. Plus, Technology Tuesday, all straight ahead. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
Cloudy skies, 84 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Accident in the Bronx on the Major Deegan, southbound at the Cross Bronx. That's taking out the left lane. And on the Harlem River Drive, you have an accident northbound about 155th Street, a little bit north of there, taking out a couple of lanes. And on the FDR Drive, we have that crash southbound at the Brooklyn Bridge, blocking the left lane. It's slow northbound from the 20s up to the Triborough Bridge. On the Garden State Parkway, an accident northbound approaching exit 100, and then another crash northbound approaching 135. Also an accident in Edison on 287. This is northbound approaching exit 1. Southbound, you have a crash at exit 5. And watch for a stalled vehicle on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, southbound at the Brooklyn Bridge. Holland Tunnel, 20 minutes to New Jersey. The Lincoln Tunnel is 40 minutes in and 20 minutes out. You now know how not to go. I'm Adam Walsky, AM 970, The Answer.
Hey, this is Michael Riedel of the New York Post. Now, don't miss my show every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, On the Town, brought to you by Hello Dolly, winner of 4 Tony Awards, including Best Revival of a Musical and Best Actress in a Musical, the great Bette Midler. The New York Times says everything Bette Midler does stops the show. NPR calls it the best show of the year. Get tickets at HelloDollyOnBroadway.com. That's HelloDollyOnBroadway.com.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual saved me almost $800 when I switched my home and auto insurance.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, I got the perfect coverage for us. And I didn't have to worry about skimping on MS Party.
Oh, well, that explains the
party! Best birthday ever!
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide survey of new customers, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You've heard me in the past talk about what potentially could be the seizure of your invested monies. Money that you have in a 401k, for example, or in stock holdings. If you have some sort of diversified portfolio that you don't hold in possession yourself. Friends, not a lot of people know this, but there are aspects of the Dodd-Frank Act that allow the government, under certain circumstances, to seize all the money in your account to use for their purposes. What are one of the only things that are excluded from that seizure? Precious metals that you own yourself and hold without tax penalty. If you would like to know how you could avoid government seizure, even in a financial crisis, call my friends at Landmark Capital right now. They've written the definitive white paper on what this is and how to prevent and how to protect yourself in the process. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575 or online at landmarkgold.com.
You're waiting on a sweltering platform. You're stuck in a packed train. Again. The summer of hell for commuters is making you late for work and costing you money. What are the people in charge doing about it? The governor is denying responsibility. The mayor is running away and shifting blame. And the state legislature is on vacation. It's time to reclaim your commute. It's time to reclaim New York. Go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Join the fight. Tell the politicians it's time to fix the MTA. Go to ReclaimNYNow.org today. That's ReclaimNYNow.org. Paid for by Reclaim New York.
Proving that he may be ready for prime time. Frank Morano. Sunday mornings at 4 on AM 970. The Answer. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, glad to have you with us. Very interesting in that we just heard from General Boykin everything that from the military mind of a military man to see what Linda Sarsour's I don't know. It's almost exhibitionist the way she is about this. It's like she so desperately wants everyone to know how much she hates America and hopes that we all die. Except maybe there's one group that she hates even worse. I'll ask my next guest about that. Carol Markowitz is with us every Tuesday. Carol, you said she also went after the Jews, too. Explain.
Well, she's always, you know, she always targets what she calls Zionists, which, let's be real here, that's just another word for Jews. Have you ever met a Jew that wasn't a Zionist? Like, I haven't. I mean, I know that there are some public ones that enjoy being anti-Israel, but, like, there's such a tiny percentage that when you say Zionist, you automatically mean Jews.
Right.
And so she blamed the pushback about her speech on Zionists. And she says things like, you can't be a feminist and a Zionist. And all these Jews that support her, all these liberal Jews, I mean, they just don't address that at all.
And there are Jews supporting Linda Sarsour?
There are, absolutely. My city councilman, Brad Lander in Brooklyn, he is Jewish, I believe, and he is openly supporting her. And even after her speech, I asked him on Twitter whether he still stood by her. He said, absolutely, he still stands by her. She meant, you know, the struggle. She didn't mean
that's insane.
Violent jihad. You know, she was just using a word that we associate with violence. Like, come on. Also, they're just being played, because if anybody thinks that she didn't use that word to get her face back in the news so that everybody, she could play the little victim. I mean, let's be real here. That's what's happening.
Yeah, that's terrible. We're speaking with Carol Markowitz, by the way. She's a columnist for the New York Post, and you can read her just about every Monday with great regularity at the Post. She sometimes gets bumped for other things, but not often. And I think it's one of the most important columns in New York media, and one that you should never miss. Carol, the other kind of top story of the last couple of days is that, the first inbox I had this morning was someone shoving the New York Times article in my face. See, Trump Jr., he colluded. It's all proven. Well, then I go read the article, the New York Times article, and I see the headline, which makes you think, oh, well, he met with somebody he wasn't supposed to. What happened there?
Right.
And then you read the finer details. You get all the way to the end of the article. And they're like, actually, basically who he met with. He didn't know who he was meeting with. And, you know, everybody will take a meeting to try to get negative information about their opponent.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
you worked campaigns. Isn't there a regular person on staff whose entire job it is just to take meetings with people that have negative info about your opponent? Doesn't mean
Absolutely.
That he worked out some sort of government program to rig the election.
Here's where I'm going to make the most unpopular statement on both sides. And it is, both sides are always like, we just want a non-politician. We just want a regular guy. Well, this is what happens when you have a non-politician run for the presidency.
Right.
Yep. He didn't have systems in place to say, don't meet with, you know, agents of foreign governments. And absolutely any campaign would have wanted the bad information on their opponent. Absolutely. Any campaign that says that they wouldn't have pursued this at all is lying. But any campaign would have also probably stopped before actually taking the meeting, because they knew that everything comes out. That is the key message from my campaign experience. There are no secrets. Everything comes out. So if you're willing to hit the press with meeting with a Russian lawyer, then go ahead, take that meeting. But if you're not, then somebody needs to be there to say, don't do this.
Now, how much does it matter that she has since come forward and said she was never an agent of the Russian government and that her only objection was to talk about adoption?
Right. Well, listen, the thing is, I long said I don't think there's a there there. I don't think the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government. I mean, I think all of that is absurd. But this is a really bad look for the campaign. It's a really bad look for the Trump family because the press is never going to be fair to them.
Right.
If they're waiting for the press to give them a favorable spin, that is never going to happen. So if you already have a hostile press and you have something like this go on, it's going to be so much worse for them than it would have been if this was the Hillary campaign doing this, right? The press would have somehow covered.
Saying if it had been the Hillary campaign doing this,
right.
we would have never heard of it.
Yes, that's exactly it. So the Trump campaign, the Trump administration, they're held to a different standard, and they have to, like, work within that, or they're going to just be, you know, this is going to be a two-year presidency if they don't understand that.
Well, I don't think that, I think it's largely, my bigger issue is what we're not getting done, which is health care and tax reform.
Yeah.
And those types of things. In fact, that's a good lead into your new piece, which we'll take the rest of the time to discuss. Mm-hmm. Why Democrats are still losing the war of ideas. You say, as bad as some of the administration's record has been thus far and not getting things done, you're saying Democrats are still further behind than the Republicans are. What do you base all that on?
Well, I've been openly not a huge Trump fan. I do think some things have been really, like, have gone much better than I expected. But, you know, for example, the ban on people from certain Muslim countries, that ban makes no sense because it does not include United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, two countries where, and Egypt, three countries where the majority, you know, 18 out of the 19 September 11 hijackers came from those three countries, yet they're exempt from the ban. So the ban really makes no sense to me. But what is the Democrat plan for stopping terrorism? Literally nothing. I went back, I read all of Hillary's comments on how to end terrorism during the election, and it always came down to, let's just keep doing what we're doing. And she was saying this kind of thing when France had just experienced their worst violence since World War II.
Right.
You can't just keep doing what you're doing and people are dead at concert halls. You can't.
Right. No, it's totally true.
His ideas might be half-baked, but they're the only ideas going.
Well, and that's part of why people hate Washington, is that you've got one party trying to do something right now. The other party's saying, no, we're not doing anything, and no one's coming up. And there is no fresh blood for the Democrats either. That's the other thing that I think is painful to them. Anyway, read it. It's in yesterday's Post. You can still get
Thanks
it online.
So much.
Why Democrats are still losing the war of ideas. Carol Markowitz, our brilliant correspondent on Tuesdays. Carol, thanks for being here.
As always, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Kevin McCullough, lots more straight ahead. It is Kevin McCullough Radio.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
Cloudy skies, 84 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. A man is dead after being struck by an F train at the East Broadway station this afternoon. MTA officials say the man was struck by a southbound train shortly after 3 p.m. Not immediately clear why the man was on the tracks. Riders should expect delays on the A, C, E, F, and G lines. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie sharing his thoughts on federal funding that's been allocated for a new rail tunnel connecting New Jersey and New York. Last night, the House Appropriations Committee set aside $17.8 billion of additional money for the Department of Transportation. Christie praised the measure, calling it a triumph for our region. And authorities are investigating after a JetBlue plane left JFK that was forced to make an emergency landing this morning. According to the FAA, Flight 2802 bound for Buffalo reported fumes in the cockpit before safely returning to JFK at 6:50 this morning. No injuries were reported. Checking sports, it's Major League Baseball's All-Star Game tonight in Miami. And with your traffic, westbound 139, the upper roadway in Jersey City, subject to closure because of a downed traffic light. Also watch for delays on the Garden State Parkway, northbound approaching exit 135 with an accident. Delays on the Harlem River Drive, northbound in the 150s, but an accident was cleared. Southbound BQE after the Brooklyn Bridge, a stalled vehicle is blocking a lane. The Lincoln Tunnel, 30 minutes into the city, 20 minutes out. The Holland Tunnel is 20 minutes both ways. You now know how not to go. And your forecast, a chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, low in the mid-70s, a chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s, and for Thursday, warmer with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, humid with a high around 90. You now know what's going on. I'm Adam Walsky, AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. How would you like to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds and be in swimsuit shape in time for the summer? Friends, you could do that if you got started right now. And there is no better place to do it than my friends at the Bay Ridge Holistic Healthcare Center. I'm talking about Dr. Kerry Skorsky, the same man who helped me lose almost 30 pounds nearly 3 years ago. And I've been able to keep it off. Friends, you eat whole food the whole time. You're actually helping your body reset its own metabolism. And it helps balance your hormones and brings your blood sugars into alignment. You're going to get healthy in this program as much as you're going to lose the weight. And you're going to feel better about yourself as you do it. Not only that, people will notice. I'm telling you, in the first week alone, 9 to 10, 11 pounds. I've heard from so many people that have lost sometimes even more than that. So here's what you need to do to get started. Call Bay Ridge Holistic Healthcare, 844-THE-DIET. That's 844-THE-DIET. Or go to a new you in 40days.com. That's 844-THE-DIET, 844-THE-DIET, or a new you in 40days.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. My good friend Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, loves AM 970 The Answer and our listeners. He's making an incredible offer exclusively for the listeners to AM 970, actually. Up to 50% off everything on the MyPillow website. It includes the Mike 4-Pack Special, the Premium Pillows, the Luxury Giza Sheets, the Mattress Toppers, the Roll and Go Pillows, even the Pet Beds. And you should ask about the new Human Bed. You'll not see or hear this offer anywhere else. So if you're looking for a great gift for graduates, newly married couples, a new pet, or you just want to give someone the gift of a good night's sleep, call MyPillow. 800-506-2641. Make sure you use the promo code AM970. Every item from MyPillow has a money-back guarantee and includes free shipping if the order is above $100. Call now, 800-506-2641, promo code AM970, or go to MyPillow.com, but make sure you use the promo code AM970.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Definitely, he has to testify. That email is disturbing.
That's Lindsey Graham, the hysterical, worried, panicked, pulling the hair out of his head. Lindsey Graham. I don't get him and McCain right now. They're bugging big time. Welcome, Kevin McCullough Radio. Glad to have you with us. He's talking about Donald Trump Jr. Do you have the longer form of that cut? Let's hear the full statement by the senator from South Carolina.
You're in a campaign and you get an offer from a foreign government to help your campaign, the answer is no. So I don't know what Mr. Trump Jr.'s version of the facts are. He has to testify. That email is disturbing. But what is equally odd to me is that the person they met with knew absolutely nothing. So I don't know why they would pick somebody for him to meet with that didn't have any information about the Clinton campaign. But on its face, this is very problematic. We cannot allow foreign governments to reach out to anybody's campaign and say, we'd like to help you. That is a non-starter. I know Donald Trump Jr. is new to politics. I know that Jared Kushner is new to politics. But this is going to require a lot of questions to be asked and answered.
Oh, okay. And by the way, Donald Trump Jr. is not even in politics. He's running the Trump Organization right now. Was he tacitly, with the campaign? Yeah. But did he transition to the administration? No. Does he have any favors to pull? No. And here's what I wished all these hysterical voices would just understand. Yeah, he took a meeting that was set up by somebody that he trusted. This Mr. Goldstone guy is evidently a longtime acquaintance of Trump Jr. also, when you're in the midst of a campaign cycle and somebody says, I've got damaging information on your opponent, don't even begin to think that Clinton didn't take dozens of meetings with people that had nasty things to say about Donald Trump. It's not the issue here. There is no moral quandary here. The issue here is not whether or not he met with somebody that had bad information, you know, negative information about Hillary Clinton. That's normal in politics. What would have been problematic is if in that meeting they had said, hey, we have information that was stolen from the other side, and here's what it is, and here's how you can use it. No, by the way, this is from the Russian government. There is some debate yet as to whether or not this woman even was a representative of the Russian government, a claim that she denies. So, Mr. Graham, Mr. Lindsey Graham, if you're going to be up there and you're going to have Donald Trump come up and tell you all the things you need to know about whether or not, you know, he colluded with the Russians, might be helpful to have the woman that he met with, too. Why don't you subpoena her? Okay, so he and Jared and Manafort are in this meeting together. And they're the ones that, if you've now listened to what happened, she didn't have any info and they talked about adoption, which is actually a very legitimate issue. There are Russian children that need to be adopted. And if she's seeking a way to improve the lives of children through adoption, I'm willing to have anybody sit down and talk about that. But watch the press today, man. Watch the hysterics. Watch Shepard Smith light his hair on fire all over the Fox News channel. Just because they're going to say, oh, well, he knew that they had damaging information about Hillary Clinton. So what? Lots of people are going to say they have bad information, damaging information about your political opponent. Part of the job of your campaign is to meet with the people that have negative information about your opponent. You better have someone on your campaign staff allocated to the sole task of looking at the opposition research. That's what you got to do. You're running a campaign, you're going to have somebody on that job. So that doesn't bother me. The fact that he was looking for information that was useful in the campaign, that's not a problem. Whether or not he had cognitive knowledge that it was coming from the Russian government has yet to be established, although the emails seem to indicate that that was the impression he was under. But it doesn't prove. Here's what these emails today by Donald Trump Jr. don't prove. Goldstone never offered proof that the Russian government was involved. Okay? So that's one thing. The guy that set up the meeting never offered any proof to Don Jr. that this was, in fact, from the Russian government. The lady that they met with denies that she was a government agent. And the other thing that the email chain today definitely proves is that Trump Jr. did not offer any quid pro quo for the information. He did not say, we will do this for you if you help us do this. There is none of that. So was he supposed to listen to the information? He could have. Every campaign on earth would have done that. But it doesn't. There is no there. So that's why this morning, when, you know, the media held its bated breath, daily bated breath about the Trump White House. The New York Times published the story. Trump Jr. was told in an email of Russian effort to aid campaign. Well, by the middle of June last year, when supposedly this took place, wasn't Barack Obama standing up saying, there's no, let me be clear, there is no possibility for the Russians to be interfering in our election? He felt that there was no possibility of it being able to happen. This whole story, as it has been from the beginning, a ginormous piece of nothing burger, served up off the grill of anonymous sources. Kevin McCullough.
Today we're talking about mortgages. If you're looking to obtain a home loan, Emmanuel Katechis from United Mortgages here to help answer some questions. Emmanuel, what's currently happening in the mortgage industry?
There are many great things. For instance, one of the best new products is HARP. Right now, someone can refinance even if you owe more than what your house is worth. Also, United Mortgage can get you into a property with little or no money down.
Can you still get a mortgage even if you have bad credit?
Absolutely. Right now, even if you have a low credit score, we may be able to help you with various programs, such as FHA or VA.
What separates United Mortgage from other mortgage companies?
What separates us is service, hands down. We are here 7 days a week, from early morning to late evening. We understand that this process can be very intimidating. That is why our team has been trained in customer service and products. We are here for you even after the loan closes.
Call United Mortgage at 888-888-5721. 888-888-5721. United Mortgage is licensed by the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Department of Banking. 888-888-5721.
You're waiting on a sweltering platform. You're stuck in a packed train. Again. The summer of hell for commuters is making you late for work and costing you money. What are the people in charge doing about it? The governor is denying responsibility. The mayor is running away and shifting blame. And the state legislature is on vacation. It's time to reclaim your commute. It's time to reclaim New York. Go to reclaimnynow.org. Join the fight. Tell the politicians it's time to fix the MTA. Go to reclaimnynow.org today. That's reclaimnynow.org. Paid for by Reclaim New York.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first five callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-725-1616 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-725-1616. That's 800-725-1616. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at am970theanswer.com.
Happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, it's Tech Tuesday. Trending technology on Tuesday we like to discuss with Ari Zolden, the head of Quantum Networks here in New York. And so many interesting things to discuss. Ari, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Hey, Kevin.
Okay, so I'm really irritated about something today. I'm laying in bed last night. And my bride goes, okay, make note of that. I didn't know what she was talking about. And then this morning we wake up and she's like, okay, today is Amazon Prime Day. What do you need? And I'm like, wait, it's what? She goes, it's Amazon Prime Day. It's like you can get all kinds of things. What electronics do you need? I said, I don't need anything. Why are we talking about buying stuff just because some retailer made it a holiday? Now, Ari, I'm probably overreacting a little bit, but it seemed it's fairly self-aggrandizing. But what a smart thing to do create your own, in essence, like Black Friday, but it's on a random Tuesday in the middle of July?
How amazing is that? Especially big companies like Amazon could sort of force, quote unquote, a holiday on you. you know?
Well, what are we going to have next week? Is it going to be, you know, Best Buy Bonanza? And the one after that's going to be Apollonia Apple Days or something. I don't know. But it is crazy how this technology, Amazon, that has its links into everything from our groceries to our deodorant to our dry cleaning to whatever else you can get through Amazon, has been able to, and if you look at social media today, it's wallpapered with it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, talk about like how powerful the tech community is, especially like a brand like Amazon. I mean, they can literally build a holiday around their company. And, you know, can you imagine 5 or 10 years, it's probably going to be stamped on our calendar, you know, as Amazon Prime Day. But you know what it reminds me of, Kevin, actually? You know, what Hallmark did with Mother's Day and Father's Day. They virtually created an industry where it gets people into their store to be able to buy cards.
Right.
It's very, very similar.
You're actually onto something there. Now, there's some other news in the tech sector today. Best Buy is kind of reeling because now Amazon has unleashed their own Geek Squad. Explain what that is and how it works.
Sure. Geek Squad was actually, and it's a phenomenal concept. So look, we're all challenged, I think one way or the other, we're all challenged with some sort of technical challenges, whether it's putting up our smart TV, whether it's configuring our computer at home. So every customer, you know, for most of these large companies, they want to reach the end user. So Geek Squad found an opportunity. They created, I don't know if you've seen any of their VW bugs out there, but out there, right? They go to your house, they fix what you need, you pay them on an hourly rate, and they get the job done. Well, Amazon obviously is always looking to reach the end user. They're looking to reach them quickly, efficiently, and economically. So this is just another opportunity for Amazon to get into your house. And I think it's a great move.
They sound like cockroaches. They're making up their own holidays. They're trying to get in my house. How can I get away from me? Leave me alone. No, I'm kidding. I know that I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to all this stuff, but I am a technology lover. So I do have a dilemma. I don't buy a lot of stuff off Amazon, but my wife does everything. She buys our groceries, all of the household cleaning supplies, everything you can think of comes from Amazon now. And it's so today, anyway, if you're into buying stuff, today's the day on Amazon Prime that they made the holiday and they're going to benefit from it. I can tell. I mean, I literally saw Facebook statuses from friends today going, oh, it's Amazon Prime Day. What's in your cart? Like, I don't have anything in my cart. I'm trying to save money at this point in time.
It's amazing.
Let's talk about this other story that was in the Post today. This fly was exploring a 3D printer and then the 3D printer began printing. And he got fossilized inside whatever it was the 3D printer made. It was the kiss of death, literally, for that fly. But you reminded me in the break, we've never yet talked about this, but soon we're all going to be able to make whatever we want in our own living room.
Right. So it's interesting. 3D printing has actually been around for some time, but it's only been really available for large corporations, for NASA. Really, it's been a commercial application for a long time. But obviously, as technology continues to evolve, they were able to get the 3D printer down to a size that it could fit into your home office or on your kitchen table, which is absolutely phenomenal. So what does that actually mean for your audience? You can, in theory, as long as you create the sketch, which it all comes, the product, and I've used 3D printers before, it's absolutely phenomenal. You could almost pretty much copy anything that you see in a three-dimensional form, i.e., if you have a brush that you lost, you can go ahead, computer generate on print an actual comb. You put in the application into the printer, and it produces a comb for you. And that goes for virtually, I mean, I've seen people produce virtual airplanes that are flying, that will be flying in the sky, that are actually produced from it's not a home 3D printer, but it's a very large commercial printer. But we're going to be seeing 3D printers, I believe, in the next 4 to 5 to 6 years in every single home, just like we saw the home computer, just like we saw the fax machine. And I think 3D printers are right there.
Well, okay, aside from a comb or a couple of, random household, how would an average family use the 3D printer? What kind of problems is it solving for us?
I mean, really, it's you know, if you don't want to get a, if you need to be able to replicate something on the spot versus going outside of your house and getting it, this is just a, this just adds to what we call, and what we've called here on the show, the convenience economy.
Right.
So, you know, instead of getting out of bed, you can actually, in a couple of years, you can say, you know, to your wife, hey, you know what, I can't find my toothbrush. Can you go ahead and just
make me
print
one.
Me another one?
That's crazy. And does the quality of what it makes, does it hold up?
It does. I've seen some of these molds, and it's extraordinary. I mean, within 5 or 10 minutes, you can produce, you could literally produce a toothbrush with the same exact quality, sometimes better than the one you have sitting on your bathroom counter. And it's a matter of time. You're going to turn to your wife. You're going to say, hey, you know, print me, and you're going to be hearing this. You're going to be hearing the terms, you know, can you please print me a XYZ? And it's going to happen. You're going to see the next 3 to 5 years. Hold on to this audio.
I will.
It's going to happen.
All right. Wow. That is crazy, mind-blowing stuff, Ari. But it's one of the reasons why I love talking to you, because you blow my mind almost every week, and that's what it boils down to. You can find him at Quantum Networks, and, of course, he writes for a variety of things. But follow him on Twitter, at Ari Zolden. Ari, good to have you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, final thoughts, coming right back.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
Cloudy skies, 84 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. It's 20 minutes in both directions at the Lincoln and the Holland tunnels. No major backups inbound at the George Washington Bridge, but all the approaches New Jersey bound still have a big backup. In New Jersey, delays westbound 280 between exit 16 and 14, and you have an accident on the Garden State Parkway, northbound at exit 135, that's blocking at least one lane. Slow traffic on the BQE, southbound by the Brooklyn Bridge, but a stalled vehicle has been cleared. More delays by Atlantic Avenue, where an accident was just cleared. Up to Connecticut, we have delays on 95. It's a slow go northbound between exit 8 and Stamford, 14 in Norwalk. Delays on the Merritt Parkway northbound from exit 33 up to 38. And you're slow on westbound 287 in Westchester onto the thruway merge. You now know how not to go. I'm Adam Walsky, AM 970, The Answer.
You're waiting on a sweltering platform, and you're going to be late. Again, you're stuck in traffic for hours because you can't rely on the trains. You're missing work. It's costing you money. It's the summer of hell for commuters. And what are the people in charge doing about it? The governor is denying responsibility. The mayor is shifting blame. And the state legislature is on vacation. That's why you're stuck sweating on the platform. It's time to reclaim your commute. It's time to reclaim New York. Go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Send Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio a clear message. Do your job. It's time to fix the MTA and put the summer of hell on ice. Go to ReclaimNYNow.org and join the fight today. Enough is enough.
This message paid for by Reclaim New York.
This is Michael Riedel of the New York Post. Now, don't miss my show every Saturday morning at 9 on The Town, brought to you by a terrific new play on Broadway, A Doll's House Part 2 by Lucas Neath, directed by Sam Gold, starring Tony Award winner Laurie Metcalf, Chris Cooper, Jane Houdyshell, and Condola Rashad. The New York Times calls it the best play of the Broadway season. The Los Angeles Times calls it the best play of the Broadway season. And Time Out calls it the best play of the Broadway season. That's 3 for 3, folks. And the Washington Post says, A Doll's House Part 2 is the breakthrough play that Broadway has been waiting for. So get your tickets at adollshousepart2.com. That's adollshousepart2.com.
AM 97, The Answer. What
you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Just a reminder, the Kevin McCullough microphone stands with the men and women of the police department. We love the NYPD. We stand with the NYPD. And last week, when Officer Familia was tragically taken by a violent criminal who should not have been on the street, we stand with her and her family. We believe that Officer Familia, like so many police officers, get up and every single day their only focus is not even the protection of their own life. Their only focus is the protection of their city. What they can do to help make New York a safer place. And those of you that travel here from other parts of the country, you get to experience that when you come to this great city. I was not surprised, however, to read that today, when the funeral took place, and as is common with police officer funerals, there were scores, hundreds, maybe thousands of officers that showed up to pay their respects, to offer their support for their fallen officer. They were assembled, as many times they are, out the door and down the block. And in order for one particular congregant to get in to the service today, he had to pass in his lanky, oofa-loofa, Herman Munster kind of gait that he has. This one particular kind of big bird of a guy had to go past all those officers. And in something that you seldom see, you seldom see this. In fact, in the history of New York, you've not seen it very often. But under the last couple of years, you've seen it way more often than you've ever seen it before in the history of the city. That was very simply that the police officers in blue today, in uniform, turned their backs on the lanky man who ran away from reporters when they asked him, "Will you go visit the victims of the train derailment?" They turned their back on the man who, instead of stopping and making a statement about the Familia shooting and going and visiting her family, he got on an airplane and went to Germany to protest our own president, our own country. He went to protest the United States of America as the sitting mayor of New York City. Instead of taking care of his officers, instead of showing him that they are important to him, he abandoned them to go further his leftist progressive agenda. So not only today am I not angry that the NYPD turned their back on Mayor de Blasio, I'm proud that they had the dignity and integrity and self-respect not to cast their gaze on him while mourning their own. I'm Kevin McCullough.